you a gift, but all you ask for is our lives. And we want to commit our lives to you. We thank you for Luke and Anita and their willingness to serve you. Pray the transition would be smooth and they would be able to see how they're being used by you. Thank you for bringing Brady and Sarah to the church, and just pray as she's carrying this child that you'd keep them healthy, that the time would come soon and there'd be no complications. And do pray for everyone here, and just with the busy schedules through the week, that we would take time to be still and know that you are God. Father, we thank you for your love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Deep theology today. Church signs back. They must be across the street from each other. All dogs go to heaven. Only humans go to heaven. Read the Bible. I might be able to read this from there. God loves all his creations, dogs included. Dogs don't have souls. This is not open for debate. Imagine driving down the street. Here it says, Catholic dogs go to heaven. Presbyterian dogs can talk to their pastor. Converting to Catholicism does not magically grant your dog a soul. And I don't know how long they kept the signs up. If it was like from Sunday to Sunday or something. And free dog souls with conversion. Dogs are animals. There aren't any rocks in heaven either. So what's the next sign? All rocks go to heaven. Yeah. I was emailed that this week, and I got such a kick out of it because it's so crazy that you know it has to be true. You know, these kinds of debates are going on. The topic we're going into today is not that deep of a topic. Okay? We're getting into the Lord's Prayer. And we get into prayer. My father went to a special weekend conference. And we were talking over the phone. This is a couple months ago. And he said, oh, the topic was prayer. And I said, oh, I've heard them speak. They said we need to pray more. He goes, yeah. And I'm like, we know that every time we hear prayer, right? We say, prayer. It's like, seldom do I ever get to a situation where I'm speaking about prayer and it's like, ooh, I'm doing too much of that. How can I cut back on my prayer time? I'm praying too much. I've never heard someone have that problem. We know with prayer, a very simple topic, but a very important topic to God. And so we're going to go into Luke 11, continuing with the passages you're going through as you go through the book of Luke. And this week is the Lord's Prayer. And so we'll start off by read the passage. It's Luke 11, 1 through 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And again, think about that. Jesus praying. That's just what an amazing concept when you know that Jesus is God. He knows everything about God. God knows everything about Jesus. They are one. But Jesus is praying. And that's, you know, that gets into deeper theology, right? When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And I wonder if Jesus was praying out loud and the disciples were listening to him. Wouldn't that have been the cool thing right there to hear how is Jesus talking to God? Just be off to the side, just listening to him pray. And then he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. You'll also find the Lord's Prayer in, I believe it's Matthew. That's a little bit more elaborate. This is more of a reduced section of it. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answered, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, you'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's humorous with this passage, and I would love to see how Jesus says this. And I do think that sarcasm can be a spiritual gift. Something that Jesus is using a little bit here, and he's like, so, somebody asks you for, you know, and you give them, you know, you ask for a fish, you give them a snake. And you know, and that culture, just thinking of what the snakes were. I remember I was on a mission trip in Mexico, and we were on clay to make bricks and that, and they had a snake there that was a poisonous snake. And this was not with Way of the Cross, it was a different mission trip I was with. And we had to answer the question ahead of time. If you got bit by the snake, and say it was on your leg, did you want your leg amputated? Because they had snakes in the area that were so poisonous, that you only had a little bit of time for them to go through your bloodstream. Or did you want to take the chance? And they had some rhyme, but I was like, don't tell me some rhyme. I know I'll forget it, you know, this red, black, yellow, something or fellow, or, you know, red, yellow, black, dead jack, or something. You know, I can't imagine thinking through that thing, you know, and we're going through it, being careful of snakes. Well, you know, snakes in this culture would be something they wouldn't want to play with. You know, fish was money. You know, ask for a fish, oh, here's a snake. You know, you want an egg? A scorpion. And just the sarcasm, the humor that, if we know how to give gifts, how much more would God know how to give gifts? The topic of prayer. J. Edgar Hoover. The spectacle of a nation praying is more awe-inspiring than the explosion of an atomic bomb. The force of prayer is greater than any possible combination of man-controlled powers, because prayer is man's greatest means of trapping the infinite resources of God. You know, with this whole debate going, presidential debate, I would to hear something like this right now. That somebody would stand up and say, you know, the power of prayer. And getting back into prayer. And committing ourselves to God. And stop arguing about whose fault some things are. Get some solutions and let's get together and pray. I would disagree with one thing on this quote. It's the word trapping. I would like to say tapping. That we can tap to the infinite resources of God. I just don't think I can trap God. Okay? How do I trap God? I can tap into His resources, but I don't think I can really trap Him. You go through Scripture with prayer, and I know I'm going through things that are very basic, but we're going to bring some different things hopefully for you. It should be a daily thing, a morning thing. David in Psalm 5:3, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." You probably have some kind of morning routine. Whatever that is, you get up and you immediately go do something. Maybe you'll use the restroom first, then you go downstairs and have breakfast or whatever, and you come back. Who lays out their school clothes the night before? I do too. Sometimes. I do that. Somebody have the same breakfast every morning? Yeah? Somebody skip breakfast every morning? Somebody like breakfast better at night? Breakfast food you can eat any time of day, can't you? I mean, like waffles. That's fair any time, right? We have a certain routine. And whatever that routine is, if you have your own alarm set, or if it's your parents, when I was your age, My mom would wake me up. She'd say, "Randy, get up." And then if I didn't get up, she'd come by, she'd turn on the light, and say, "Randy, get up." And then next time it was a glass of water. Not for me to drink. She'd throw it on me. So typically by that time I hear footsteps coming. I know I've had the two warnings. I jump out of bed. I'm up. And my mom, she'd still have fun with it. She'd throw it on me. But the starting off the day, and I like this phrase. A lot of people, when the alarm goes off, they say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Instead of saying, "Good morning, Lord." How do we start the... Zig Ziglar really gets into this, because he says, why do we call it an alarm clock? If you don't hear it, then it's an alarm. Because you're either late or you're dead. That's the alarm. The fact that you heard it and it woke you up, that's not an alarm. It's an opportunity clock. I'm awake. I have life. I have strength. Wow, what am I going to do this day? Good morning, Lord. It's a different perspective. To realize you, there's a book that's the No Complaining Rule. We're trying to apply at our school. And it's saying things like, instead of saying "I have to," say "I get to." "Oh, I have to go to school today." "No, I get to go to school today." I have to, what do you mean I have to walk? You get to walk. You have the ability to walk. You get to do items. And it's just a different way of viewing things. But good morning, Lord. Norman Grubb adds to it. He says, "Good morning, God, I love you. What are you up to today? I want to be part of it." This is not as easy for me. To be honest with you, I often find myself praying my schedule to God. You know, "God, this is what I'm doing today." Hey, because you didn't know. "So this is what I'm doing today, and would you please come along and bless everything I'm doing?" And think about it, you probably do the same thing. "You know, I have this test next hour that I didn't study for, I forgot about. I was in college and I was talking in the back of the class." I know it's a surprise, I was a little rambunctious back then. But I was talking in the back of the class and the teacher, to punish me, asked me to pray before the test. Christian school, yep. So I started praying. Well, I wasn't ready for the test, so I just kept praying and praying and praying. I prayed for the rapture. I started praying for all these missionaries. If I said, "Amen!" And he looked at me all mad. I was like, "Sorry, I'm just going to go the whole hour. I was ready." But don't do that. Turn off that computer thing. We better not have that online, right? But, you know, really to pray instead of, "This is what I'm doing today." God has set for there is a schedule we have to go through. Be it that we have church this day, be it that we have school, be it that we have work, be it that we're in the neighborhood this day. We have some plans that are set there. But to look at it and say, "God, give me your eyes. Who are you bringing into my life today that maybe has been there for 5 years, but I've really never noticed how I could help them, or I could listen to them, or I could talk with them? You know, Lord, what are you up to today? What person are you working on their heart? Hey, can I be part of that? Can I help?" And that's like the little kid following along the dad, you know, saying, "Can I help?" So we'll just continue with that. Try to get a picture for you on this, but that's a great picture, isn't it? But here's a crazy one for you to try, okay? I read this illustration of a little girl. She's getting ready to go to bed. They wore their shoes in the house. We don't do that at our house, okay? But they wore the shoes in the house. And she'd take off her shoes. And as she's taking off her shoes, she'd take off the one shoe and throw it under the bed. And then hop in bed. And her mom's like, "Why are you throwing your shoe under the bed?" And she says, "Because when I wake up in the morning, it reminds me to get down on my knees to get the shoe, and I pray." I'm like, "Oh, wow." Out of the mouth of babes, right, come the truth, right? Just what a way to remind yourself down. pray, to start the day in prayer. She gets down on her knees to get her shoe, and while she's there, she prays. Psalm 88:1 talks about twice a day. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. I don't think it necessarily means just praying twice a day. Day and night, that's like covers everything. You know, like the first 12 hours and the last 12 hours of each day I pray. Well, that's all 24, right? That whole concept of constantly being in the mindset of prayer. George Herbert has said, prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. And I really encourage you to take those times where you have time alone in the morning, to just go ahead and pray. I'll start the day with a right attitude, a right perspective. And then at the end of the day, to pray, looking over the day, have I done someone wrong? Is there a way I can correct that right now, even before I go to sleep? Now, if it's too late to call them, I shouldn't do that. But maybe email them. Something to take correct. I realize I messed up. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. Or as you guys would do, probably text message immediately, right? Somehow contacting them. The things that I did right, we don't talk about those very much, but just to say, wow, celebrate that victory. You know, I did something right there. I helped somebody. I was kind to somebody who wasn't kind to me. Wow, thank you for allowing that to happen, Lord. I'm going to try to do more of that. To count your many blessings, to look through and realize how blessed we are, and what God has done for us. You know, there's people who complain about their long ride to work. But nowadays, it's a blessing to have work, to have a job. And one of the things, you know, is in the bulletin, the program, of now different families being touched in the same category. Psalm 55:17 gets into the three times a day. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. When we think of the three times a day, there's a character that we really jump out with. Which person in the Bible? He got punished for it in a way. Daniel. It's really cool when you think about this. He was so committed to this that after a decree came out that he wasn't allowed to pray anymore to his God, it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now, I don't think our prayer has to be in a certain direction, windows open for everybody to see. However, if you feel that that's what you need, then you need to. I had a friend who believed in a prayer closet. And so he would empty everything out of his closet, get in, close the doors, and pray. Open back up, put his shoes all back in. And so if his brother came by his room, if he looked in and saw the shoes all on the floor, he knew not to go in there. Because it meant his brother was praying. You know, there's some that prayer closet. You need an area for you regularly where you can pray and not be distracted. That you could truly focus and have conversation with God. And then we get into some things with Jesus. Along Luke 6:12. One of them to the mountainside to pray and to God. Now, I added something here for you. What is this? iPhone. It is amazing. No, it's sad. With our phone contracts, the number of minutes we get is a big X number of minutes. For my family, we share minutes. We have 2,100 minutes. And I have to keep an eye on that. A blessing for us is Verizon. Verizon to Verizon. It doesn't use up my minutes. After 9 o'clock and weekends. And I really keep track of this because 2,100 minutes isn't a lot of minutes. I got an email from somebody so I could give them a call. You know, call him some at his office, but next to his cell phone number, he just put VZ. for Verizon. And people are starting to do that with their business cards and that, so that you know that if you have Verizon, they have Verizon, you can call and not use up your minutes. Because sometimes you're wondering, should I call someone's cell phone? I don't want to use up their minutes. Should I text them? Oh, they may do that. Well, now, break it down differently. Critique yesterday's day of prayer for yourself. Not counting in church last night. Prayer time, was it more than 45 seconds? If our prayer contract for a month was 10 minutes, would we have extra charges for overusage? At school, when it's lunch and you have time to pray, I'm hoping you do pray. I would encourage you to ask those around if they want you to pray for them also and pray out loud. I know I'm stepping way out of the boundary now. I know this is difficult, right? But to ask, I'm typically finding people not being offended, me asking them, would you like me to pray for you? Anything you want me to pray for you? I'm going to just pray, thank you God for my food. Do you want me to pray for you also? No? Cool. Just give me a moment. And I pray. I need to do a 10-minute prayer. A 20-second prayer, thanking God with the right heart. Now, in the private time, we probably need a longer prayer. We like to talk. We like relationships. We like to communicate with others. Why aren't we using some of those minutes with Him? I mean, praying all night. What would you talk about? However, you have friends that you've talked all night with before. This is probably at a retreat, a lock-in or something, a sleepover or something, and you're like, like this all night long, whatever. Or Facebook, MySpace, spending so much time on that. Okay, I'll leave it alone. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Talk about the will of God. You know, God's desire for us. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To pray continually, the whole concept of that hacking cough, that tendency is always there. You feel like you're going to cough. It's always have the tendency to pray. Always to be ready to pray. Always have the mindset to pray. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You know, really being committed to prayer. And again, this is one of those typical messages. It's like, so what was the topic about today? You get home, talk to your parents at dinner, right? And it's like, so what do you talk about today? Prayer. What do you say? We need to do more of it. As well as things, it's a reminder to us. I'm going to get into some things about how it might help in a little bit, okay? But here's a passage that is very convicting, where Samuel says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. Wow. You know, this comes down to the youth leaders praying for you and you praying for the youth leaders. I mean, wow, that we owe it to each other to pray for each other. To sin by failing to pray? I don't think we think of it that way. I think we think of, my choices are, if I pray, that's a good thing. If I don't, well, I didn't. God bless you. And not the way God views it. But pray, well, that's what you should be doing. And if you don't, it's sin. So I've got a couple more concepts with this, okay? Prayer. Do you pray to give or to get? Most of our prayers to get something. When was the last time you prayed just to give God something? Just to tell God how awesome He is. You know, maybe you've had recently somebody complimented you and you're like, oh, I wish they wouldn't do that all the time. If it's in public, you may not want it, but if someone compliments you, it's like, wow, thank you. About time you noticed. No, no, I'm not going to say it that way, but you know. The compliment, to compliment God, to praise God. Abraham Lincoln records of a story where he would take visitors in. And a lady came in with a basket, and he said, you know, what can I do for you? And she said, oh, I didn't have anything I wanted you to do for me. She goes, Mr. President, I heard you like cookies, so I thought I'd bring you some cookies. And so she had a basket here, and he goes, tears came down his face. After a prolonged moment of silence, he said, my good woman, your thoughtful and unselfish deed greatly moves me. Thousands have come into this office since I became president, but you are the first one to come asking no favor for yourself or somebody else. I wonder what it's like with God. Where God says, okay, what do you want? And you're like, no, really, I just wanted to say hi. Just want, God, how are you doing? God, I love you. God, you're awesome. Thank you for this and this and this and this. And just take time. These family had some people over, and a little girl was asked to pray. And she closed prayer with, and now, God, what can I do for you? That caught everybody off guard. I think it's a good thing for us to think through. We've got a little reader's theater for you. All right? And this is taking the Lord's Prayer, let the two of you come on up, and putting a little thinking through, you can go ahead and click that off if you would please. Thinking through the prayer, and when we pray,